The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This episode is brought to you by my friend Rebecca Walser, a financial expert who can help you protect your wealth. Book your free call with her team by going to friendofdinesh.com. That's friendofdinesh.com. Coming up, I'll make the case for why so many public institutions, from the FBI to the CDC, have earned our distrust. Debbie's going to join me for our Friday roundup. We'll discuss how Virginia Governor Youngkin is dispatching troops to the southern border, Attorney General Ken Paxton's woes in Texas, and baseball players speaking out against woke propaganda. I'll also continue my discussion of the new morality of I, myself, and me. Hey, if you're watching on Rumble or listening on Apple, Google, or Spotify, please hit the subscribe button. I'd appreciate it. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Show.
Needs this voice. The times are crazy. In a time of confusion, division, and lies, we need a brave voice of reason, understanding, and truth. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Podcast.
One by one, the major institutions of American life are now earning our distrust. Think about that. We want to have trust in our public institutions. And I have to say, when I came to America as a teenager in the late 70s, I had this sort of trust. And the trust was not just, you may say, blind faith. It was based upon the fact that institutions worked. Institutions seemed to provide what they were set up to do. And even though, of course, human nature being what it is, institutions do have certain predispositions. They have certain biases. They reflect the biases of the people who are in those institutions. And so over time, as I got to know America better, I'm like, well, you know, universities are, in fact, biased to the left. But at the same time, it's one thing to say you're biased to the left. It's another thing to say that you are an organ of pure propaganda. If somebody says something, it's not only something that reflects a sort of predilection or bias, it's flatly untrue, and yet they're teaching it, and it's in the textbooks. Or take the media. It was obvious to me, again, once I familiarized myself with the contours of American politics. Remember, before that, I found myself, when I first started thinking about politics, I realized I actually have some liberal opinions on certain things. And I realized it's not because I'd even thought them through. I was just carried by the liberal tide. But then as I became a little more alert, I began to realize, you know, the people on the media, they're spinning the news to the left. But again, spinning the news to the left is not the same thing as making stuff up. It's not the same thing as knowing something is true and important and deciding, hey, like the Hunter Biden laptop, I'm just not going to report on this. I'm going to hope that no one finds out about this. That goes beyond bias. That's brazen dishonesty. And so one by one, these institutions, universities, schools, the media, you begin to see have become increasingly dishonest and propagandistic. And yet there were other institutions in which we retained our trust. We thought, well, okay, that's that, but, you know, we can still trust the police. We can still trust the FBI. We can still trust, to a certain degree, the U.S. government. Not to say we don't have a CIA, not to say that there isn't some sort of institutional subterfuge, but think about something as simple as blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline. If this had happened in the Reagan years, I would have absolutely no question in my mind that the United States did not do that. Why? Because quite frankly, this is an act of international terrorism. You send divers under the water to blow up a pipeline, and then you deny any knowledge of it. Not only that, but you try to blame it on your opponent. The Russians did it. And then you have, of course, media outlets trumpeting that. So all of this again, but now I would have to say, in fact, I don't have direct knowledge. I've seen Seymour Hersh's reporting and so on. I'd have to say, if you ask me, did the U.S. blow up the Nord Stream pipeline? My answer would be probably yes, although I'm not sure. But even that probably yes shows a lot of distrust. Why? Because it is conceivable to me that the Biden administration did it. In fact, it's in the Biden administration's interest to do it. Why would Russia blow up its own pipeline? Russia is using the pipeline to basically send gas to Germany, and Russia has been getting a lot of money for that. This is a pipeline painstakingly built. Why would they blow up their own? It makes absolutely no sense. This is like the United States going out there and blowing up the USS Reagan in the South China Sea. Why would we do it? It's our ship. Distrust of the military. Distrust of the CDC. Now think about that. The CDC is a health authority. These guys have been around for, I don't even know how long. They've been putting out advice on health, on vaccines. By and large, they've been an authoritative source for health information. You have a problem, you want to know what to do, you want to know if this particular drug works. Let's look at the CDC. But now, as we look a little more closely, we realize these institutions get corrupted, they get taken over, and guess what? They get taken over by the very same industries that they are set up to oversee and regulate. Now, the way that happens is that these industries, and here we're talking about big pharma, big pharmaceutical companies, they have giant amounts of money. And so they go, oh, we'll fund some projects at the CDC. So suddenly the CDC now becomes beholden to these large pharmaceutical companies. And the pharmaceutical companies put out misinformation that helps their cause. They also use their power with the CDC to go after smaller pharmaceutical companies, so they're able to block their competition. And now you realize, when I'm looking to the CDC, again, it's not that it's automatically what they're saying is false, but you've got to look at them with suspicious motives, which is to say you've got to look at them with a lot of distrust. Again, my point being, these institutions have earned our distrust. And the latest institution to earn my distrust is, well, the GOP. Why? Because of this highly shady and suspect debt extension deal. I mean, think about it. The federal government increased its annual spending by $2 trillion under COVID. And that was done in the clear understanding that this is exceptional. This is an emergency situation comparable to wartime. Yeah, we spend more, but we're going to go back to our norm once the crisis is over. Are we going back to our norm? No. And who's enabling this? Who's enabling this higher baseline of spending? It's none other than the Speaker of the House. It's none other than a whole bunch of Republicans. Now, there were many Republicans who voted no, but there were also many Republicans who voted yes. And along with the Democrats, they get this. So you suddenly look at the Congress and you go, wow, do we really have an opposition party that's fighting hard and using its leverage? Or do we have an opposition party that basically wants to be the, quote, responsible opposition, but ultimately subordinate to the majority party, which are the bad guys, the Democrats, who are doing bad things to us and to this country? Former President Trump recently issued a warning from Mar-a-Lago, and I quote, "Our currency is crashing and will soon no longer be the world standard, which will be our greatest defeat, frankly, in 200 years," end quote. Some experts believe there are serious threats to the future value of the U.S. dollar because of inflation, deficit spending, and our increasing national debt. Now, one asset that has withstood famine, wars, and economic upheaval dating back to biblical times is gold. And you can own it in a tax-sheltered retirement account with the help of Birch Gold. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k, maybe from a previous employer, into an IRA in gold. And the best part, you don't pay a penny out of pocket. So get started. Text Dinesh to 989898 and claim your free information kit on gold. Think about this. In March of this year, when the banks faltered, the stock market faltered, hey, gold surged. Birch Gold can help you find out how to protect your savings with gold. Birch Gold has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of happy customers, so talk to them. Text Dinesh to 989898. Get your free information kit on gold and get started. Again, text Dinesh to 989898. For a long time under COVID, there was a massive regime of censorship that prevented any public discussion of the origins of COVID. And the way this happened is that there were some early claims by scientists, and some of them very prominent scientists, both in the United States and in China, saying that COVID had most probably a natural origin. Now, what do we mean by a natural origin? Well, it came out of a wet market in Wuhan. There's a market in Wuhan. It's supposedly a seafood market, but not really. Why? Because they sell seafood, but guess what? They sell a whole bunch of other stuff. They sell all kinds of animals and animal parts. I mean, live animals, animal carcasses, animal flesh, and so on. And so the idea is that somehow COVID originated there. It passed from a bat, perhaps, to other animals, and then passed from those animals to human beings. And this was the theory. And it was only a theory. And if you really ask what was the evidence for it, there really wasn't a whole lot. Yeah, there was a wet market in Wuhan, but guess what? There was also a Wuhan lab. And when you talk about a Wuhan lab, you might think we're talking about, hey, there's a building in which there's a laboratory. No, we're talking about massive complex of research. The Wuhan labs, multiple facilities overseen by the Chinese government and very often involving participation, active participation by the Chinese military. So this is a combination of a health project, a scientific project, and admittedly a defense or bioweapons project, all going on together in a multi-level facility. Now, several months ago, actually in early February of this year, the Energy Department came out and said, well, we've been looking at this evidence and we think that a lab leak, a leak from the Wuhan lab, most likely caused this pandemic. And see, that would make a huge difference because that would mean that the, well, that would leave two possibilities. One is that if it came out of the lab, it could be deliberate or it could be accidental. I don't think that the overwhelming view here is that this was deliberate, that this was a bioweapon per se, but it would certainly be negligent if you were operating a gain of function research lab and you let out a deadly pathogen, a deadly virus that then causes a worldwide pandemic. Well, I mean, you're responsible for it. You made it happen. You released the virus. China, of course, has constantly tried to deny that they're responsible. In fact, not only have they favored the idea that there was a natural origin, the Chinese government at certain points has even denied the natural origin. They've said, no, someone probably brought this virus to China, like in a suitcase. In other words, it was brought to China from the outside and then, of course, released from China. No one disagrees with that. And so the Chinese government has been trying to say, no, don't look at us. We didn't have anything to do with this. Now, the World Health Organization, after claiming we're going to research this, kind of backed off. They said, well, Chinese aren't really cooperating. And so the whole subject is surrounded with mystery. But now the idea of a lab leak is respectable. It has sort of made its way back into mainstream discussion. It's no longer a topic that can be easily censored. And think about the stupidity and fruitlessness of all that censorship. What did it do? It merely shut down public discussion of this critically important topic. I think to some degree, even the debate about the vaccines is less important than the debate about how we got COVID in the first place. Well, the new development here, the one I want to focus on, is now a prominent Chinese scientist named George Gao, G-A-O. This is not some researcher who just graduated from like Beijing with a major in biology. We're talking about the head of China's Center for Disease Control. So the CDC in China. And this guy gave an interview recently on the BBC and radio. And he goes, I'm quoting him now, you can always suspect anything. That's science. Don't rule out anything. And this was in the context of the origin of COVID. Now, it's very interesting to have a leading Chinese scientist who is to some degree at the behest of the Chinese Communist Party basically saying, don't rule out a lab leak. So this is a guy who might be expected to parrot the line of the Chinese government, but he's not. Now, you may say, wait a minute, is he still the acting director of the CDC? No, he stepped down last year. But of course, still to have a leading Chinese scientist leave open the possibility, contradicting, by the way, the positions of the Chinese government, that this could be a lab leak, I think is a very interesting event in the aftermath of what the Energy Department concluded several months ago, namely that a lab leak is, in fact, plausible. It's plausible to me. I mean, look at the signature of of COVID. It has a lot of elements that you don't see in normal viruses. Even the vaccine against COVID doesn't act like a normal vaccine. Now, is it just because it's a bad vaccine? The vaccine doesn't really work? That could be. The other possibility is that COVID has features. The virus itself has features that don't emerge ordinarily from nature. And so the normal types of vaccines that humans have been developing to fight other infectious diseases, which have been pretty effective against those, right? I mean, you take a polio vaccine, you're not expected to get polio. You're not expected to give polio to other people. Clearly, the COVID vaccine isn't like that. And so while there are scientists now who still uphold the idea that this was probably of natural origin, there are also prominent scientists on the other side, including now the guy from China, saying that we can't write off the possibility that this virus came out of the Wuhan complex. Debbie and I started eating better this year. We've lost weight, but foods we can't seem to eat enough of, and it's a requirement, are veggies and fiber. Now, what better way? There's no better way to get all your fruits and veggies plus fiber than with Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature Fiber and Spice, right here. It's a proprietary blend of 12 spices for digestive health. The intense flavors and deep colors of spices are the most condensed whole food source of phytonutrition available. It's recommended to be paired with this, the star product, fruits and veggies in a capsule. So easy. Select the whole health system for the best price. Now, start your journey to better health right now. Take advantage of Balance of Nature's offer, $25 off plus free fiber and spice with your first preferred order of fruits and veggies when you use discount code America. The offer can end at any time, so take advantage of it now. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751, or go to balanceofnature.com. Use discount code America. Debbie and I here for our Friday roundup, and we thought we'd start by talking about this very strange business with the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. I mean, here you have a Republican House with a Republican Speaker who mobilized a majority vote, and a pretty decisive one, to impeach Paxton. And now the upshot of this is that it goes to the Senate for a trial. There needs to be a two-thirds vote to remove Paxton. And that trial, I think, is going to occur. It has to occur before the end of August. Most likely it will occur in August. But in the meantime, Paxton can't serve. He's sort of suspended. He has to sort of step to the side and prepare his defense for the Senate trial. And I believe, didn't we see that Abbott, the governor, is appointed a sort of an interim acting attorney general. Now, this is the same Ken Paxton who was just reelected by the voters and by a pretty decisive margin. So what do you think is going on? This is very odd. It's odd for Republicans in a Republican state to do this to a pretty outspoken and by many people's measure effective attorney general.
Well, full disclosure, I've known Ken Paxton and his wife for many years, a decade really. And in fact, you know, when I was president of Spirit of Freedom Republican Women, I can't even talk this morning, you know, I had him come and speak a couple of times. And so we met back in 2013, somewhere around there. And listen, the voters keep electing him. The problem, I see this as a problem of, I think he's making too many enemies. And it's actually a good thing, really, for us, because those enemies are bad people. They're people that don't have a conservative agenda. Now, I can't speak for the House members that you claim yesterday, the Texas House members that voted to impeach him that you said were conservative, because I find that very hard to believe. I am pretty certain that the evangelical conservatives in the state house voted against the impeachment.
Well, if you look at the numbers, you know, the vote was so lopsided, 121 to impeach, 23 not to impeach. So just look at the logic of that. There's no way there are only 23 conservatives in the entire Texas House. Yeah, there are some rhinos. Yeah, there are some moderates who are nevertheless Republicans. But the point being, the ratio of the moderates to the conservatives is probably going to be somewhat even. And so that means that a lot of conservatives did vote. Now, I think what I find disturbing is that the Paxton people were saying, and if they're right, this is very, very peculiar and very bad, that they convinced the conservatives to vote by simply saying, hey, listen, we'll sort it out in the Senate. In other words, we don't have to really look at the, we have these reports alleging all this improper behavior, Paxton did this, Paxton did that, Paxton fired all these people who were political appointees, and this was retaliation. And they're like, we don't have to consider the merits of this because that's what the Senate trial will do. But of course, the point of impeaching someone is you have to have very good reason to believe that they've engaged in a, I mean, think about it. You're trying to cancel out the vote of the voters. You're trying to undo the result of an election. You need to have serious cause to do that. I don't think that they have. I mean, think about it. They didn't even have a trial.
They didn't have a trial. And according to many people, including Paxton, this whole impeachment process was illegal because it violated Texas state law. So if that's the case, you know, that's going to have to be sorted out because, you know, how is the Senate then going to vote on something that's illegal?
Well, I mean, this becomes a very good defense for Paxton. And what's Debbie referring to here? She's referring to the fact that the impeachment law, and impeachment laws can vary, but in Texas, it's basically this. You have to be impeached for things that you did in your current term of office. So you can't have some guy who's elected by the voters and reelected like Paxton and then go, well, listen, you know, 15 years ago, you did that. Because the idea was, hey, wait a minute. If he did that, his opponent could have brought that up in the election, could have put it before the voters. The voters could take that into account and decide for themselves. So you can't dredge up old stuff. And this, in fact, is old stuff. In fact, it obviously long precedes Paxton's reelection. Some of it goes back to 2019, 2018. Some of it involves a woman who's making claims against Paxton, a kind of a wrongful conduct claim. Apparently, Paxton went to the legislature and said, let's settle this. He wanted them to appropriate some money to sort of settle the case. The legislature decided no. But again, I don't see, where's the grounds for impeachment?
Right. Well, according to this outside law firm, there isn't any. It says Paxton didn't break laws or violate office procedure. So, and this was an outside firm that did a review
of all these charges.
And you said that they posted this even before the election, right? So that the voters could see this. So apparently the Texas House took it upon itself to undo what the voters in November
did. Quite clearly, there's a kind of vendetta against Paxton. It must be, as you say, that he made a lot of enemies, and they're like, this is an opportunity to gang up on him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to work in the Senate, but the fact that they were able to put him out of business
for
the summer.
Well, you know, and it goes back to even to Trump's impeachment. Is it now a case that you're impeaching people because you don't like them? You don't like their what they did
before. Forget about high crimes and misdemeanors.
Right. You just don't like them. They kind of get under your skin, or they did something way back before they were even in office, and you're like, yeah, I think I'm going to bring that up.
We call this defining impeachment down. Got aches and pains? I've got the remedy for you. Debbie and I started taking Relief Factor a couple of years ago. The difference we've seen in our joints, nothing short of amazing. Aches and pains are gone thanks to this 100% drug-free solution called Relief Factor. Now, how does it work? Relief Factor supports your body's fight against inflammation. That's the source of aches and pains. Hey, the vast majority of people who try Relief Factor love it. They become regular customers and order more because it works for them. Debbie's a true believer. She can now do exercises that for a long time she wasn't able to do. So Relief Factor has been a big game changer for her, her aunt, other members of our family, Mike here in the studio, and for many other people. You too can benefit. Try it for yourself. Order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. Again, the number 800-4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. You'll feel the difference. With the terrible border policies of the Biden administration, essentially a kind of open invitation to people, not just in Mexico, but all over Latin America, South America. Hey, come from India, come from China, come from wherever. You know, practice your backstroke, show up at the southern border. You're going to be let in. We're going to create a kind of fake system where, oh, you're going to have a court date. Come in 2026, come in 2027. This is what Biden is up to. And the federal government, regrettably, is in charge of immigration policy. But now states are trying to do what they can to push back. Texas is trying to do stuff, and Florida is doing stuff, And some of the other Republican states are also stepping in. Right?
Virginia Governor Youngkin apparently is going to be sending some National Guard troops to help out here in Texas. Much needed relief, I believe. I think he says because the federal government isn't doing their job. So states have to kind of help their fellow border states secure.
I mean, it's interesting. Virginia is not a border state. And yet, I think what these, let's call them interstate governors are noticing is that the migrants don't just stay in Texas. They tend to fan out. In fact, the Biden administration often flies them, ships them, dispatches them all over the country. And it seems also more in Republican areas. But regardless of whether that's true. So Youngkin decided to do something about
this. I wonder, though, if Youngkin has seen an influx of illegals in his state. And this is why it prompted him to do something about it, because he's like, hey, whoa, you know, we're getting some here too. I think there must be a problem. And so maybe that's what happened. I don't know.
There's a stereotype of a state like Virginia as basically being, hey, this is it's a mainly white state. It may have some blacks, but it doesn't have a whole. But the truth of it is Virginia is a very diverse state. Part of the reason for that is that D.C. is full of foreigners. Now, I'm not saying they're all illegal. Many of them are diplomats. Some of them are, you know, taxi drivers from Senegal and other places like that. But what I'm saying is it's a diverse population. And then on top of that, you have all these illegals showing up and showing up with entitlement. This is another new phenomenon, is you don't just have illegals. You have now illegals who have, like, you know, Adidas shoes, and they're like, where's the hotel I'm going to check in at?
Because, and I've told you this before, it's because the illegals coming in are illegals that are used to getting handouts. They like it. And so I don't know why anyone thinks that for some reason they come to America and they're going to change.
But the point I'm making is they're not even desperately poor. If you look at these guys, I mean, they're wearing very nice jeans. They seem to have
their iPhones.
They have phones. And also their expectations. Their expectations are kind of in line with, okay, I'm here. Now who's going to look after me? Where are the provisions for my support? I've seen videos of illegals who refuse to be checked into certain types of housing and so on because they think it's substandard.
Or don't like the food.
They don't like the food.
Complain about the food.
Where's the menu?
Yeah, it's not. And so the other similar states that are helping out, Tennessee, Nebraska, Mississippi, and of course, Florida, are also announcing deployments of their National Guard troops.
In some cases, these are pretty small numbers of people. I mean, Youngkin is sending 100. Some of the other states are sending a dozen.
It's more symbolic,
I think. It's symbolic, but I think it reflects, and you can see these, of course, all Republican states. These are the Republicans trying in their own way to push back against the Biden administration.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, it really baffles me because even in the Valley, my mother is so funny. I keep asking her, hey, Mom, you know, are you seeing any? Because I'm going there next week. And maybe I'll drive down to the border to see what's going on down there. But I say, you know, I ask her, hey, are you seeing, a huge amount of illegals? And she's like, no, I don't think so. I think it's just the same old people. But what you have to, you know, understand is that in the Valley, the Hispanic population is like 90%. So it's kind of hard to tell.
Everyone's already Hispanic. Yeah,
yeah,
you can't separate. Well, the other thing is that we know that in some cases, like El Paso, there is just a massive influx and the whole town is upside down and there are encampments on the streets. Mm-hmm. But in other places, it's a way station. Mm-hmm. You come in into the Valley.
It may be that in the Valley as well, because I've asked my mom if she's seen any encampments or tents and that kind of thing. And she says she hasn't. So we'll see. When I go next week, I will come back with some intel.
Your mom's also in her mid-80s and she's not exactly all that mobile. So
she doesn't go out that much. So, I'll be able to see for myself what's going on in the Valley, at least in the Rio Grande Valley.
I know that Marjorie Taylor Greene's bill of impeachment against Biden, and again, it's not clear where that's going. She has pretty good access to Kevin McCarthy, so it may be. In fact, there's some talk that Marjorie Taylor Greene voted for this debt ceiling extension. She voted, you know, with McCarthy, but because McCarthy has agreed to do like seven other things in return.
I get it.
So,
okay.
So again, I've just seen a report about this. I'm not confirming it to be true, but this is how you use leverage. You
scratch
say, okay, well,
back,
listen,
I'll
if you want me
yours.
To vote for you on this one, okay, listen, I know it's going to pass. I'll vote for you on this one, but I demand that you give me these four things. And if one of those things is impeachments of Mayorkas, impeachments of Merrick Garland, impeachments of Matthew Graves, and impeachments of Biden, well, it may be a price worth paying. I think when it comes to towels, nothing compares to MyPillow towels. Mike Lindell has really hit a home run with his towels. Imagine having a towel that actually works. Now, these MyPillow towels are soft to the touch without the weird lotiony feel. They have proprietary technology, which makes them highly absorbent. Now, the towels feel good, but don't absorb. MyPillow towels are available in multiple styles and sizes, made with USA cotton, machine washable and durable, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. And the best part, Mike is running a flash sale on the My Towel 6-piece set for $25 with promo code Dinesh. These towels are an amazing deal. They were regularly $99.98. So it includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. So go ahead, call 800-876-0227. The number again, 800-876-0227, or go to mypillow.com. Don't forget to use the promo code D-I-N-E-S-H Dinesh. I don't know if you know, but June is Pride Month. How will you celebrate? I know you've been thinking about that along with your family. And well, let's just say I won't be celebrating by going to Target or to Kohl's or to Disney. But there's an interesting controversy in Los Angeles over the, what is it? Is it the LA?
The LA Dodgers.
It's the Dodgers. So the Dodgers, apparently, to celebrate Pride Month, made some kind of an alliance with a group that is, you know, very, well, it's a kind of a LGBTQ, but very anti-Catholic group. It's called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And you can see that right there in the name. There's a kind of mockery built into it. And so a local bishop has spoken out against this. You know, the Dodgers have been trying to deal with this by saying, well, we also respect, you know, religious believers and so on, but they're not backing away. And some prominent baseball players, here are two, Clayton Kershaw and Trevor Williams, pitchers, they have come out and said, basically, you know, we're Christians. We don't approve of making an alliance with some group, whatever it's a group that is quite clearly hostile to religious beliefs and specifically to Catholicism.
I mean, this just reminds me so much of what happened in the old Christian days, you know, in the old when Jesus was preaching and they had the Caesarea by the Sea and Caesarea Philippi, where people would go and worship idols and you know, what was it, Pan?
Yeah, I mean, there was child sacrifice and animal sacrifice
gods.
And pagan worship. What you're saying is that this new stuff, although it doesn't take the name of paganism, it doesn't overtly seem...
It doesn't have to. It's like obvious.
And you're saying that there are new idols.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and but it's the same thing.
It's exactly
a revival.
The same thing.
Yeah. Now, the old paganism preceded Christianity and it preceded Judaism. And so it developed kind of on its own. I think the difference here is that this is explicitly anti-Christian.
Right. But
right?
But even when Christ was preaching, this was going on.
This was going
well.
On, yes.
So and he preached against that too.
Right.
So even though that did precede him, he did preach about it.
What Debbie's referring to is that in Israel, there is actually a place, a physical place that was referred to as the gates of hell because it was such a kind of degenerate pagan site. And so when Jesus said, the gates of hell, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, he was speaking metaphorically, yes, but also literally. He meant the gates of hell right there, that pagan worship site, is not going to be able to shake the foundation of the church. And guess what? Those battles, interestingly, fast forward 2,000 years, are still going on.
We're battling them today. And these guys, you know, Clayton and Trevor from the Dodgers, are brave to come out because this other guy... From he's a Blue Jays
player, Toronto.
He now faces backlash because he apologized for sharing a video that basically said this is the most pathetic thing or whatever. People were obviously against what was going on, and he shared the video.
So his video was evident. The video he shared was a little different. It wasn't about the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. It was a video basically advocating a continuing boycott of Bud Light and Target,
right,
over the kind of distribution of Pride merchandise, but Pride merchandise for children,
for babies.
I mean, going all the way to babies. And so this guy shared the video, and then what happens? The team, the official establishment,
right,
comes down against him,
yeah,
and they make him put this rather abject apology, which,
right,
I'm going to read. I recognize yesterday I made a post that was hurtful to the Pride community. Which includes friends of mine and close family members of mine. I'm sorry for that. And I will use Blue Jay's resources to better educate myself to make better decisions moving forward. So basically, when you see this kind of apology, this is a person who's saying, I am a weak individual. The establishment has beaten me down. I will now be in full conformity. Don't expect any trouble out of me. So I feel sorry for the guy. He's obviously just an athlete.
Well, you know, these athletes should not be put in the position to have to defend either side.
Of course not.
Because, you know, I don't like baseball. My father was a phenomenal baseball player. You know that he could have probably played in the major leagues, and chose not to. But, I don't like baseball. But that being said, these guys, they entertain. People love baseball. They love to watch. But I don't really think that people that watch baseball really enjoy this other stuff that is happening on the sidelines.
These sports are supposed to be unifying. I remember George Will wrote a column many years ago where he basically said baseball is the American sport. And his point was that many people prefer football. But he goes, you know, football is a sport, and all true, the whole world doesn't play American football, but there are other countries that do. But baseball
and apple
was sort
pie.
Of, baseball was kind of cooked up in America. It gained momentum in America. Now, a lot of good players today come from Cuba, come from Venezuela, come from other places, but they come and play in America.
Yeah.
So baseball is an all-American sport, and I think what you're saying is it's regrettable.
It's too bad.
It's come to this. We're continuing my annual campaign to send children of prisoners, kids with a mom or dad in prison, to the Fresh Air and Christian Fellowship of Angel Tree Camp, operated by our friends at Prison Fellowship. So if you haven't joined our campaign, today is a great time. Just go to DineshDeSouza.com, my website, click on the Angel Tree Camp banner. With summer now upon us, you and I can do something special to get these at-risk kids out of bad neighborhoods and away from gang influences. Let's turn around the lives of boys and girls by sending them to Angel Tree Camp this summer. Your gift of just $200 sends a deserving boy or girl to camp for an entire week. A lot of these kids arrive at camp feeling isolated and ashamed that they have a parent in prison through no fault of their own. But then something truly special occurs. The transition over the course of just 1 week is pretty amazing. Just go to DineshDeSouza.com, click on the Angel Tree Camp banner, or you can phone your donation to 888-206-2801. Again, the number 888-206-2801. It's a safe place for children of prisoners to experience the great outdoors, make new friends, and hear the gospel. Once more, go to DineshDeSouza.com, click on the Angel Tree Camp banner to help change a child's life for eternity. I mean, I just saw this weird article about a fight, a fracas, an attack by a bunch of teenagers on, guess what? A group of Marines. What? In any event, this was evidently something that came out of Memorial Day. It involved fireworks. And the reason we talk about these kinds of episodes is that they're often suggestive of some larger forces in our society, whether it's disrespect for the military, whether it's the fact that kids have a sense of entitlement, feel they can get away with anything. In any event, talk about the facts of what happened, at least as far as we know.
Mm-hmm. So apparently this took place at the T Street Beach near the San Clemente Pier in California.
Yeah.
And it was celebrating, of all things, Memorial Day. Do these kids even know what Memorial Day is all about? Do they understand what the sacrifice that these men and women made and died for our country, and this is what we are commemorating, really. We're not celebrating it as much as we're commemorating it.
So here you have the irony. So, these kids are evidently like, we're getting into the firework display. And so they were setting off these fireworks.
They were setting off fireworks. One of the fireworks, apparently something hit one of the Marines in the head or in the face. And so they went and asked these kids, stop doing this, right? Stop. Well, apparently they didn't like being told what to do. And these were off duty. I'm not sure that they were in their Marine uniforms. I think that they probably weren't in their Marine uniforms. But anyway, in any case, these kids like jumped on them and started beating them to a pulp. And so much so that these poor Marines had to go on the ground, fetal position, kind of to say like, enough, stop.
Being punched and kicked by these guys. And when I say these guys, they're like 40 of them. So 40 guys on what? How many Marines?
Just three, I believe.
Oh, three. Okay.
Yeah.
And so this is outrageous.
And somebody got it on video, and it went viral. And this is how, it kind of took off from there. But apparently these guys, they did not seek medical attention. Marines are very tough people. So they were probably like, listen,
we'll be okay. But the sheriff says he's going to step in and prosecute.
Yeah, I believe five have actually been arrested already, from what I read a couple of days ago. This happened over the Memorial Weekend, and I think some people have been arrested.
Now, I do think it's interesting that the Marines, and they seem to have exercised considerable restraint here, because by and large, admittedly, 40 kids against three, but three Marines can do a lot of damage. I bet you these Marines decided not to fight back.
They probably did.
And they probably decided just to defend themselves and essentially hunker down.
Good thing it didn't happen in Texas, because I can guarantee you our Marines probably would have
responded.
Would be packing.
Well, that too. Had they drawn a weapon, these guys would have scattered, because after all, looks like these hooligans are cowards.
Yeah.
And imagine the sense of entitlement when you're being asked to stop doing something that's harmed somebody, and yet you just kind of forge ahead.
Yeah. I think a pair of bystanders it intervened in the beating, with one woman putting herself between the victims and their assailants as she outstretched her arms and yelled, stop. Now, you don't see this very often, where somebody actually tries to, we did see it in New York, and look how it ended up there. But
you're talking about the Jordan.
People these days, they don't want to help somebody out like that, because they're going to be blamed if something bad happens, if the person dies or whatever. They're charged with murder. So nobody wants to defend anybody anymore. No bystander anyway.
This is a case where the Orange County Sheriff goes, this is considered an assault with a deadly weapon because of the amount of suspects we are investigating.
That's amazing.
So what he's saying basically is, if two guys get into a fight and one guy kicks the other guy, it's not a deadly weapon. But imagine 40 guys, which is 80 pairs of feet, stomping on three guys. That can do some serious damage. And in fact, we're quite fortunate that didn't happen. In this case, the Marines now seem to be, I'm sure they were scuffed up, but they look to be okay. And I think for us, this is just the kind of disrespect that, hey, it's Memorial Day. Hey, you're supposed to, why are you lighting these fireworks? Well, we're lighting fireworks to celebrate and remember what happened with all the people who have given their lives for the country. Well, here are three guys who are part of that group.
Yeah. Not only that, but it's just, is it just the case really that kids, and again, I don't know if this comes to the fact that when they get put in jail or whatever, they get released immediately. Juvenile jail
detention
is no big deal. It means nothing. And so these kids are going to just do it again and again and again. And I don't know. I think until we start treating kids this age as adults and put them in jail for real, I don't know if any of this stuff is going to stop, because it's getting worse. It's not getting any better. And I just don't think that kids have any respect for law and order anymore.
I'd like to invite you guys to check out my Locals channel. I post a lot of exclusive content there, including content that is censored on other social media platforms. So, hey, on Locals, you get Dinesh Unchained, Dinesh Uncensored, and you can also interact with me directly. I do a live weekly Q&A every Tuesday, and no topic is off limits. I've also uploaded some very cool films to Locals, both documentaries and feature films, both my films and also films by other independent producers. 2000 Mules is up there, and I'm doing a new film this year. I can't wait. And I'll be giving you the inside scoop on Locals. Hey, if you're an annual subscriber, you can stream and watch all these films for free. So check out my channel at dinesh.locals.com. I'd love to have you along for this great ride. Again, it's dinesh.locals.com. I'd like to conclude my discussion of this new morality or secular morality, a morality that I've argued emerged in resistance to and opposition to religious or traditional morality. And I want to show what's wrong with this secular morality. It is appealing because it seems to promote a kind of individuality. Many people, especially young people these days, tend to believe in the inner self, that you ultimately resolve a problem, a moral problem, but even a more general problem, by looking within yourself. Now, what's wrong with this? Well, I think the fundamental problem is that it is based on the assumption, and this was Rousseau's assumption, that the inner self is good. Now, hey, if Rousseau was right, the inner self is good, then sure, by consulting the inner self, we always have a standard of good that can then be applied to correct and measure up against the rest of our behavior or conduct or decisions. But is this assumption correct? Is human nature consistently and reliably good? Now, if we look at Western literature, Western music, Western art, we see the answer is no. Read Shakespeare's plays, read Othello, and read Hamlet. Read Macbeth, and you begin to see political evil, moral evil, envy. Take something like Wagner's Ring trilogy. If you follow that music, you notice it kind of draws you into the inner depths of human nature. And on the surface, it all seems very pleasant and pastoral. But as you go deeper, you find anger and rage and lust and greed and vengeance and malice and all these ugly human emotions that are what Wagner is doing is, through this admittedly beautiful music, nevertheless bringing all of this out: cruelty, brutality, hatred, envy. We also find in human nature this peculiar emotion called Schadenfreude, a German word which means the pleasure you take in other people's misery. Think about that. In fact, this is a big reason why some people like reality TV. It's like, wow, I thought I had problems. That person has real problems. Ha ha ha. So Schadenfreude is a kind of an unattractive human emotion, right? Because it's you're actually rejoicing in somebody else's pain. Now, there's some debate about whether in human nature, does good predominate? Does evil predominate? And there's a whole bunch of literature, not even religious literature. I'm just talking about scientific literature, psychological literature, which shows that beneath the motives that human beings profess, there are very often less admirable motives at work. So even when we have good motives like pity and compassion, that sometimes is mixed in with a feeling of superiority. Oh yeah, I'm better than that person. I'm going to help them because I'm the superior person and they're the inferior person. And it gives me a sense of I lord it over them by exercising this kind of magnanimity. Evolutionary psychology shows that apparent acts of generosity can sometimes be propelled by selfish motives, self-aggrandizement and self-perpetuation. So I'm not saying, no one's saying here that human nature doesn't have a good side, that there are human beings are incapable of virtue. No, the propensity for good is there, but so is the propensity for vice and evil. And so the question for secular morality is, when you're looking for the inner self, well, which self are you seeking? The good self or the bad self? Are you seeking the self that seeks to follow the right path or the wrong path? What principle do you have that distinguishes the good inner self from the bad inner self? And so to this question, secular morality has no answer. It's just dig in, look to the inner self. The inner self will tell you, and that's all we have to say. So secular morality refuses to admit the ancient truth of Christianity, which is that there is a corruption at the core of human nature. Remember, Christians use the phrase fallen nature. And, you know, people think, yeah, Dinesh, are you appealing here to the Garden of Eden, eating the apple, the story of the fall? I'm like, no, I'm just making an observation about human motivation, which is derived from human experience. I mean, however you define morality, there seems to be a universal human tendency to fall short of it. And that means that there is a human propensity, a natural propensity to fall short, to do the wrong thing. And this is the real meaning of the events that transcribed in the Garden of Eden. In this sense, original sin isn't just an ancient story. It's not even just a theological proposition, but it's basically a verifiable part of human experience that all rational people can observe and give assent to. So a realistic assessment of human malevolence should convince even secular people that secular morality is based on an inadequate anthropology. So I'm not saying here that we need to get rid of this new morality. That would be hard to do. That would be impractical. It is sufficiently rooted that it would not be easy to like uproot it now. But what I'm saying is that this secular morality is clearly inadequate. It's insufficient. And in some ways, it's even irresponsible. So we should pursue self-fulfillment, but only in ways that are good. And this standard of good doesn't come from self-fulfillment itself. You can't just tell people, just do it, be yourself. Imagine giving that advice to Hitler. Be yourself. Just do it. No. Obviously, that idea of acting out of conviction has got to be subordinate to some higher standard of right and wrong.
Subscribe to the Dinesh D'Souza podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify. Or watch on Rumble, YouTube, and SalemNow.com. Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.